Chapter 1. A Day in June 1941. These lines are dedicated to no one. How could they be? I have no disciple, no descendants. God forbid. My work did not allow me to have any. Or, to put it slightly nearer the truth, my work would not allow me to tie myself to domesticity. I am thus lacking in that particular area of what is called normal living. So all I can hope for is that a man with an insatiable curiosity, an historian or a scientist perhaps, will face up to the challenge of deciphering the code that took me months to devise and get used to, make foolproof, and of which, incidentally, I'm rather proud. He may fall prey to my self-indulgence, shrug his shoulders, but sit at his desk and start working in earnest, because it is he, not I, for I'll be far away or dead, who will want to tell my story for posterity and to tell it my way. Conversely, my decipherer, before the difficulties facing him, may decide to give up the game as not worth the candle, or, more likely, the candles he'd have to burn. So be it. I'll be talking to myself, like Robinson Crusoe on his island must have done all day long, projecting his inner voice to the vast and wild expanses in front and on top of him, then onto the more permanent surfaces, and this perhaps to kill a kind of boredom with himself. Not that I have to execute that sort of killing. More to the point, not that I feel the need ever to identify with the man Crusoe, with what he seems to have been before he was shipwrecked. But it is known that in adversity he became extremely resourceful, using large vegetal surfaces on which he inscribed the words that came out of him, out of his fevered head and limbs, to tell no one and everyone of the acts and thoughts that beset a solitary man whose shadow never leaves him, but alters its shape as he moves. Will it go? No. It overtakes him. It tells him, or reminds him, of the timelessness of time, of the permanence of...